Vitamin C has evolved. Altrient Vitamin C is a cutting-edge liposomal liquid food supplement designed for maximized absorption. Discover Altrient Liposomal Vitamin C and receive 10% discount by quoting HR10 at abundanceandhealth.com.
Would you know how to get rid of your fear, phobia, stress, or anxiety? How to burst your fear and transform your life? Welcome to Fear Busters Show, presented by Lauren Rosenberg, fear and phobia relief expert and author of How to Move Forward When the Unthinkable Happens. You are listening to UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio with Lauren Rosenberg. www.fear-busters.com.
Welcome back to Fear Buster. This is Lauren Rosenberg, and I have a special guest today, April. April has a certain particular fear, that fear of eyes, in a certain particular way. So she's going to talk to us about it, and also she has a lovely job, but we will talk about it later, and lest you want to guess what she does. So hi April, thank you very much for coming on the show. April, what's the fear? What's this fear of eyes?
I'm afraid of eyes. I can't look at somebody if they've hurt their eye. I can't touch my own eye. Just generally, it makes me feel quite sick.
Okay, and since when did that start?
I would say it started in my mid-20s, I would say, when I had a friend who, he worked down the pit in a coal mine. And mm-hmm. He came one day and he said, "Can you come and pick me up? I need to go to the hospital." And he'd been sent home from work, and he'd got a number of large things, like big and small bits in his eye from the pit and everything. And so I took him to the hospital, and he said, "Well, would I stay with him?" Which I did. And this doctor came and he put his head in a clamp, and then he put his eye in some sort of clamp thing.
So you stayed with him? So you stay and you watch all this?
Yeah, I stayed with him. It was just the most awful thing. And then he put like some drops in, which obviously enlarged the pupil. And then he proceeded to say to my friend, "Well, you need to keep very, very still." And then he virtually got these things that were like tweezers and proceeded to pick the bits out of my friend's eye. And I felt physically sick. But, you know, my friend was holding my hand very tightly, and it was just the most awful thing that I could.
You could see what he was doing. when you talk about it, can you feel something in your body, or just talking about it?
I feel sick just thinking about it.
So where do you feel sick? Where do you feel that? Where do you feel this?
Because it was horrific to see.
Where do you feel this in your body? Where do you actually feel that feeling in your body?
In my stomach.
In your stomach? And does that feel heavy?
It feels twisty.
Twisty, okay. And if you had to pick a colour to release this twisty feeling in your stomach, what would that be?
I don't know really. Well, it wouldn't be green because that's sick. maybe pink.
Pink, okay. So would you mind me trying to make it a little bit lighter and less vivid so that you don't have that? So we're going to do two things. We're going to do a bit of colour therapy, but we're also going to do a little bit of eye movement therapy, just to move the image that is so vivid a little bit further, so it's not still. I mean, that's how many years ago we're talking about?
Well, that was like 25 years ago, but it's got worse since then. I mean, originally, I just couldn't look at eyes, and then I got to where I couldn't touch my own eye. I can't put eye drops in. I've got two children. And when they were small, if they got anything in their eye, then I had to call a neighbour because I couldn't cope. I know it sounds ridiculous.
No, that is what fear and phobia is, you know.
If I see anything on TV with eyes, I either have to switch it off or I put a blanket over my head until I think that moment has passed. I mean, it's just...
It's really got intense.
It has. And we had an incident where we were on holiday in Norfolk and my dog was on the beach and he got jumped on by another dog, and we got to the cafe and he was bleeding, and it turned out he was bleeding under his eye. And luckily my daughter was with me. She was like older by then, and she had to deal with the dog because I just couldn't look at him. It was really awful.
Yeah, so it has gone, it's spread out. So basically the fear, usually, you know, a fear comes from either something that we've seen or a behavior that we copy. But, and then gradually it's sort of, if it's not been dealt with, it's get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the subconscious mind doesn't have any logic. And the subconscious mind lives in the present time. So that's why your event is still very vivid. It doesn't matter if it's 25 years ago, it will still be there. Mm-hmm. So I helped somebody who had fear of eyes also. And then I helped her because she wanted to wear contact lenses. And the way of wearing contact lenses, she wanted to get rid of her fear of eyes. So we did. We got rid of the fear of eyes, and then she could wear contact lenses. So, but that would be also a problem, I presume. I mean,
well, you know, I am short-sighted, and I, you know, I have often thought about the idea, but I know I couldn't. I can't, there's no way that I could pull my eye down and have to touch it. But honestly, I just. The whole idea makes me feel quite ill.
Yeah, so that's but at least you don't have, apart from the feeling of feeling sick, it's not, I know it's disturbing and I know it's stopping you doing things. I had a case of someone who there was another person who could not look at any eyes, otherwise it would actually faint. So that was, you know, difficult, because if you're working somewhere, if you're serving someone, it was so intense. So, but let's see what we can do for you today. That feeling in your stomach.
I do feel faint.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes, it's like my daughter caught her eye on something, and she said, "Could I have a look?" And well, I did, and then I felt as if I was going to fall on the floor because I had this wave of not just sick in my stomach, but as if it was all going to go black and I was going to pass out. And I said to her, "I'm sorry, but I don't think I can have a look. I'm going to have to sit on the settee." It was terrible. And that's only recently.
And at least you know exactly where it comes from. You have the event, you have that. How was your friend afterwards? Was your friend fine?
Yeah, my daughter was. Yeah, she was fine. But I think also you get. It's like your heart like trebles, you know, it's bum, 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 like that.
Yeah,
you just can't control it.
I know, because you can't control it, because that is how you've been that programmed. That is, the subconscious mind is quite friendly with us and wants to protect us, but doesn't have the logic. So basically, it's going to say, "Okay, well, I've learned that this is how." Is dangerous because this is what makes me feel. So therefore, I should get out of it. And that's why those feeling that you feel in your body makes you want to run away from it. And that's the whole point of the subconscious mind doing that. But obviously, it's not helping us, because logically, that's not what we want. So let's try to see. Okay, so what would, like, if that's okay with you, what we can do is try to shift that feeling in your stomach, and also maybe try to do a little bit of eye movement therapy to distance that image that you have in your mind that's very vivid. So if you want, we can try and do a little bit of this. So if you just sit comfortably, and if you want to take a deep breath and just breathe in and breathe out. And then if you want to close your eyes and imagine that there is this nice pink cloud above your head, and that nice pink cloud, it's almost like a pink shower. It's starting raining, and you see that nice pink going into your mind, going down into your throat, going right down into your stomach, and that pink is going to go in where that green is, lifting, making that green lighter and lighter and lighter and smaller and smaller. So light and so small that it'll just flow and it'll just go somewhere else, or it may come out to your mouth. You may find that you need to yawn. It may come out to your fingers, to your feet. Just see a nice ping going in, lifting, making lighter and lighter and lighter. At the same time, tell your mind that you're safe, that you're, you know, you're, nothing's going to happen to you. See this nice ping going in, lifting, making it lighter and lighter and lighter. So light and so soft, it'll just flow and it'll just go wherever it needs to get. And then notice what that feel like in your stomach. And then whenever you're ready, just take a deep breath and then you can just open your eyes. So April, now thinking about it and talking about this event, what's that feel like in your stomach? Is it still the same? Is it a little bit different? Is it a little bit more digestible in that sense, that event?
I'm not sure, really.
Okay, not sure is a good answer, because before you were very precise and you would have kept going and talking about it. So that's a good sign. Okay, what's left? What's that feeling still, thinking about it? What's the feeling in your body?
I don't know, because, you know, it's still stressful.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, we're only talking about it hypothetically. But
yeah, of course.
If I was faced with, you know, an eye injury, for example, when I was a teacher for a very long time, and I was a first aider at school, so you can imagine this could be a problem. And we had an agreement amongst the first aid team that if somebody had something hanging off and was bleeding profusely, then I was the person to go to. But if they had anything to do with their eyes at all, then I was not to be counted on.
Okay. So that event really had an impact on you. Yeah. So what we'd like you to do, if that's okay with you, do you have the image in your mind? Do you have one out of that episode? Do you have a particular image that let's try not just the scarier one, but one that is not great, but not the worst one out of that episode?
Out of the same episode or
just yes, the same one.
Same one. Okay.
Yeah. So what I would like you to do is move your eyes from without moving your head, literally looking on the right corner and the left corner, thinking of that image. Keep your image in your mind and then down, left, down, right. And then almost do like half a circle of your eyes, just literally go up like that. And then keep thinking of the image. And then imagine I was doing like a figure eight in front of you and you would just follow. And then just take a deep breath. And then think of the image again. And is that slightly different? Is it less colorful, or has that something changed a little bit?
Not really. I just feel sick.
Okay, fine. So that feeling, okay. So that feeling, okay. What color do you need to get rid of it?
I need a total wipeout.
Okay, so just, I'll tell you what.
No, white's not good. No, white's not good because that's the color in your eyeball. So that's no good.
So that's also, so do you ever wear white?
Never.
Never. So that would be, I could get rid of all this, but we would need non-air and we would need a few hours just to get rid of it. But what is interesting, especially for our listeners, is how a certain particular fear can go into even not wearing a color or, you know, white. I helped a little boy who had a particular color that he didn't like. And unfortunately, the same color was his uniform. So he couldn't wear his uniform. It was bad luck. It was, you know, it was purple. And the school jumper was purple. So poor little boy. Can you imagine that, being surrounded by the colour that you don't like in school? That's not the best to start and learn. So, but what's interesting is we don't always associate the fear to what we really are scared of. And sometimes when it's not dealt with, it will go into something else. And you, in it spread, and then looking at not wearing white, that's another step onto the height, onto the fear in that sense, because it's spreading in different ways. So, obviously we can't quite do it now, but Irish movement therapy is one of the, I think, really, really good tools to literally delete the image in your mind. So, and that would, I would have to basically, you would have to follow the movement that I do, and there's a whole process to do that. What we're trying to do just now is just to relax a little bit more, but because it's eye movement therapy in a way, and because it's moving the eyes, and you're, that's the fear of the eye, is not the best in certain ways. So there would be something else to do beforehand in order to put you in a good place and then delete the image. But it's quite nice to know that that eye movement therapy is a therapy that deletes the image in your mind that you don't want, the unwanted images, or just put them further away or fade them so that you don't have to, you don't have that vivid image in your mind. At the moment, this image is very much in your memory. And what it does is the minute that you have a similar scenario, it will come up again. And that's why it's important to not have to, you know, to not have it so vivid in the mind. But the color therapy is quite good because you can send a color to shift this. So that's quite a nice way of shifting the feeling inside. Obviously, there will be more work to be done in that, because that's. What you can do is, have you ever tried to take deep breaths when you're actually into that fear, and doing even pressure points? You can even do, have you ever heard of tapping pressure points?
No.
So what you can do is acupuncture without needles, and there are certain pressure points on your head and on your front head and between the eye, next to the eye, underneath your nose, underneath your mouth, and on the collarbone, that will literally calm your whole system down. And as you're actually into the fear, you can even do it. You can try just thinking of that feeling that you have in your stomach now, just because that feeling sick. So what you would do is you tap top of your head, and then you got point right in the middle of your front head, and then between the eye, and then next to the eye, and then underneath the eye, and underneath your nose. And obviously, if this is like something that you wouldn't feel comfortable because it's near the eye, then you could just skip that one and just go straight underneath your nose. And then underneath your mouth. And then your collarbone. And then at the same time, what you could do is, what is it that I need right now with that, with this event? And then you will say, okay, I need more. What would you need when your daughter or the dog, whoever needed you? Would you need more courage? Do you need more safety? What's the first word that would come up in your mind that you would need right there? Do you need more calm? What would you need?
You mean if I was faced with an eye situation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was missing at that time that you needed that you didn't have?
I would say it's a two word, isn't it? It would be, it's okay.
Okay. So then what will you do is the top of your head, and you say, it is okay.
Can I say it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then basically what you can do is that, it's okay, I'm okay. So would you say, I'm okay? Is that the worry behind that fear?
It's okay.
It's okay. Yeah. So you'll do pressure points like, it's okay.
It's okay.
And then you'll do the sequence basically. It's okay. And you'll keep telling your mind, it's okay. And then if another word comes up in your mind, and then sometimes we also do, you can also carry on doing more points on your fingers, where the nail bands on each finger. And then on the side of the hand, we will say, for example, if you had like, it's okay, and you know, the world is supporting me, or if you were tapping on calm, you will say, I have all the calm in the world. So this is something that you could do there and then, but you could also do it beforehand, and you could practice this to calm your energy system down in order to actually get what you want, basically. So what it does is it's acupuncture without needles, basically. You're pressing on the meridians, which we're actually aligning all the meridians, and we actually also reverse what happened and that state of high anxiety and fear. So we're reducing it. So you could use whatever word you would need at that time, and then you will say, okay, well, right now I need to be brave, or right now I need calm. And I say, more calm, lots more calm, more calm, lots more calm. Obviously, if this area of touching the eye is creating something, then you wouldn't do it, just in your case, because that is what we're working. So you'll go straight here, more calm, more calm, more calm, and then you'll carry on like this on your hands. And then that will allow you to think clearly. It would calm your whole energy body down, and then you'll be able to move forward and or help someone if you needed to do something. So that's something that that tapping can help in that sense. So you're desensitizing. So what you're doing is you're putting a positive energy on top of the actual, you know, fear. So those are techniques that you could actually sort of practice and use, you know, on a day-to-day, and start using this at the same time.
Really helpful tip.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, because we always have our hands with us, and you know, you used to work in school, and that's why I help little children and do group mental health and wellness. And that's what we do. We play with our hands. We literally tap, you know, and we tap on the teddy bears. We do lots of different ways to relax the whole body so that we can put more of what they need. And very often kids, what they want is, it's interesting because they don't see themselves as clever, so they want more clever. So they'll tap on more clever, more clever, more clever, more clever. Or they'll say more brave. Sometimes they'll say more friends. And then sometimes they'll say more happiness, more happiness. So, and then we just literally fill their battery of energy with the positive side of it. And when you do that, they are, you know, in a better place, and they actually embrace, and they actually walk, you know, with much more confidence, because they have what they need in that battery. So it's quite interesting to see that. I'm trying to get it out there more into education, but this is what, you know, we all have our hands, and you can very much use the pressure points, and even just underneath your nose and underneath your mouth, if something happened and you're in total fear, you could straight away just do this, literally just do this. As you see the event unfolding in front of your eyes, literally you can do that. So if you didn't know that many years ago, you know, you would have, okay, held your hands, friends, and be there for your friend. But at the same time, with the other hand, you could have done, carry on doing the pressure points so that you could look after yourself too, you know. that's what happened. It's like, we don't deal with our emotions, and the emotion get trapped in the body. And when it gets trapped in the body, it doesn't know how to get out. The only way to get out will be to make your heart beating fast, or to make your stomach feeling sick, because that is the only way that at the moment your subconscious mind know how to release this. But if you start changing and using the pressure points, or, you know, sending a color into your body, that is how you actually get rid of that emotion that is trapped in your body. Or there's other methods that I use that are even more efficient, but it will take time for me to explain it today. But that is something that's what's happening. And that's why people, when they have their heart beating fast, or they're feeling sick, or they faint, is our lovely subconscious mind, who actually want to protect ourselves, doesn't know how to clear this big emotion luggage that we have inside. And the only way to do it is to switch the whole system off. And that's why we faint. But that doesn't help, because when you wake up, you still have it inside. And so what we want to do is take those emotions out of your body that they're not helping anymore, and then replace them with something else, which is, you know, if it's happiness, if it's calm, if it's okay, whatever it is. And then your body will and your mind will learn how to deal with those emotions in a different way, and then you actually feel lighter in that sense. So what does that feel like in your stomach now? Was that, is this different than when we started?
Lighter.
Yeah, that's the whole idea, shifting that what's that emotion that is heavy that you carry, make it lighter and lighter and lighter, to the point where you actually don't feel it anymore. And that is a process, obviously, that you can't just do in a few minutes. But it's, you know, it's good to know, and it's good to tell all our listeners that there are so many different energy tools that can be used in order to change. So you don't have to carry a fear for many years and having to adapt yourself into that. So, so if somebody was wearing white, would you be okay, or would you try to avoid seeing them? Or
no, white's okay, but I just see it as like almost an empty color.
An empty color. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you like white?
I think the problem is because, you know, when I'm faced with an eye situation, it's like the panic just takes over.
Yeah, that's why it's better to work on it beforehand.
So I can understand what you're suggesting, because it's almost like you're faced with panic, and so it's like a counteraction, isn't it, really? So whilst I'm panicking, I'm tapping, and it's a almost like a distracting measure.
Yeah, it's a psychological technique, but, you know, it's psychological. We distract the mind, but then we're also putting what's missing at a time so that the body doesn't have to go into the further level into fainting. But it's better to try it when you're not in the trigger, so that you can practice and you can put where you need. So then if, in case you're in a trigger, then you are in a better place to actually deal with it at the same time.
So, like, practice watching Bird Box several times, something like that.
If that's practice, yes, you can do that. If that triggers something, then you know, I did. I helped a little girl who wouldn't even go into the lounge because the TV was on. She could not watch anything on TV. Literally, she wouldn't even touch a remote control, and we did the pressure points. We used some color therapy, and literally it was three sessions. She then walked into the lounge, held the remote control, and was starting watching. And what she was really scared of is that when you watch something on TV, you don't know what's going to be next. So you don't know what the next scene is going to be. So even watching a video film, she also still, although she could control it and stop it, it was still like didn't know what was going to be next. So, you know, all those little fears can have a big impact on people's life. And all I'm using is energy work. And by using energy in different ways, depending which different tools that, you know, you can use magnet, you can use pressure points, you can use colors, you can use a lot, all different, and also my little own formula probably, you shift this and then you can get on with your life. And that's the beauty about it. That's
amazing.
That's my passion. Talking about passion, let's talk about you. Let's talk about what you do. So,
well, I am head of matchmaking at a dating agency in London. We work with professionals who are obviously single, and they've been really successful in their work lives, but not so in their love lives.
So how did you start?
I mean, with the pandemic as it is, it's getting more and more difficult for people to meet somebody in a traditional manner. And I mean, nobody can go out. You know, lots of people have turned to online dating, and I think that's about worn everybody out. So it, you know, we're, as I say, a traditional matchmaker. We take on people and we find them somebody to love.
How did you get into this? Because you were teaching, you were working in school.
That's right. I had a friend who, about 5 years ago, she went to a matchmaker, and I'd never heard of, well, I knew they existed, you know, in other parts of the world. But I didn't realise they existed here in the UK. And I was quite cynical at the time about it. She paid quite a lot of money. And I was, oh, God, what are you doing that nonsense for? And then about 6 months later, she got engaged, and a year later they were married. So I wasn't quite so cynical after that. And yeah, exactly. And so I decided to investigate, you know, what of being a matchmaker was. And I trained with a lady called Caroline Greeley, who at the time was training a lot of matchmakers in the UK and internationally. And I've gone full circle now, because now I work with Caroline and we're partners in London. So,
wow.
Yeah,
I met many years ago. I've met, not too long ago, actually. I met quite an elderly lady, and she, all her life, what she was doing was matchmaking. It's really interesting, and she had amazing stories, and she met like really interesting people.
We did.
And it was so interesting.
Amazing. And it's quite interesting, because they always say to people, well, you know, if you tried online dating, and you know, a lot of people have, and some people, you know, it's gone okay, but some people it really hasn't. And it's very difficult, because, you know, I had one guy, he rang up, about 6 months ago, and he said, oh, you know, what are the women like who you take on? You know, are they really desperate? And I just laughed, and I said,
that's the ID, that's what people think that is the ID.
I said to him, are you joking? The women that we take on are so successful in their fields. You know, maybe they've got their own business, maybe they're head of whatever it is, maybe they're CEOs of wherever. This is the sort of caliber of women.
That is because you didn't
control their own lives.
Because, you know, if you concentrate on your career, it takes an enormous amount of time, and you didn't. And also, it's a question of being at the right place at the right time to meet that person. And if that's not happening, then you need someone like you who would put the two together.
I think as well, because, you know, people are so, and especially in London, because our main clientele is in London. I think one of the biggest problems is that people devote so much time to their working lives that we had a chap who we took on, and he was really successful in his business. He was working in a hotel. He was a family-run hotel, and he also had leisure facilities, which also he'd taken charge of. And he was only 40. And I said to him, you know, are you sure you've got time to meet somebody? He said, oh, yeah, definitely. This is why I've come to you. I said, okay, that's fine. So I found him somebody wonderful, rang him up, said, you know, I've got this lady, da-di-da. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, but we've got problems at the moment. The hotels, we've had a couple of managers leave, and I need to find somebody to replace them. It's not a good time. So I said, okay, that's fine. So I went back to the lady. I said, you know, I'm really sorry, but the timing's not right. So then I found girl number two, rang him again, said, you know, I found another lady. Oh, we've got a problem with the electricity. Okay, girl number two. Girl number three, I rang him again. And I said, I'm this wonderful lady, dum-de-dum. He said, oh, I don't really think so. I'm not very well. You know what I said? I'm really sorry, but we can't do this.
You know what you should do?
I gave him a full refund.
Do you know what you should have done? Send it to me first. I work on a fee of commitment, and then I'll send you the client back. Because that's what it is. It's running away from, you know, consciously you want to meet someone, but sometimes subconsciously you have a fear of commitment, fear of meeting somebody, and then you just, you know, you create a different situation indirectly to avoid what you want. True. But when something is really important, you do find the time.
You have to find the time. This is what
you have to find the time. Can
you find the time? Or are you going to find the time? Because if not, don't pay your money, because
it's true. If it's really important, even if you have an electricity problem or whatever problem you have, you still will find some time, or you actually will. They will, you know, will ring you and chase you up, say, okay, all those things happen. Now, I have that time, I'm going to use that time. So there's always, you know, something. I've done the opposite. I actually just, you know, I created my family, sort of built my family first and then built my business. So, you know, I did the opposite in that sense. So I had 5 girls and then built my business. But, you know, those people, obviously, I totally understand that if you are so busy and it's really hard to meet someone. And now with the pandemic, that is not easy because everything is online. They can't meet. So that makes it harder to have a proper conversation and meeting up, and that you, apart from maybe going for a walk, I think, do you find it makes it harder now?
I think it does make it harder, but I think actually when you meet up with somebody and you're walking, actually I think it lends itself to a much better atmosphere than, you know, when you're sitting in the pub, because let's face it, first dating is not pleasant. Everybody's stressed. I mean, we had a chat quite a while ago, and we'd set him up to go out with somebody, and it was his first date. And he rang me at 10 to 7 in the evening. He was outside the pub where he was supposed to meet up. And he said, oh, you know what, I'm outside the pub. And I said, well, is there a problem? Is she going to say she's not coming? And he said, oh, no, I can see her. She's inside the pub. And I said, well, what's the problem then? And he said, I don't know if I can go in. And so I had to give him a pet talk.
Yeah, well, you're surrounded by fear too, you know. It's scary to meet someone that you you don't know, and also it's not just that you don't know, but you do know why you're meeting that person. Mm-hmm. So that's even more personal. So, but the whole idea around it, and we could do a session on fear, and you know, we could literally dismantle the fear around it, is all you're doing is putting two people and connecting them together. That's what it is. And if it hasn't happened naturally, you're just doing it through your work. And that's what it is. And there's nothing, you know, people sometimes have that fear around it too, saying, oh, that's how I need to do it. But great, excellent, excellent work. How can they find you if anyone out there is single and want to meet April for matchmaking? Where can they find you?
Our company is called Mutual Attraction. And my email is april@mutualattraction.co.uk.
Excellent. Thank you for listening. Thank you, April, for coming on to the show today. You're listening to Lauren Rosenberg, Fear Buster. Thank you very much for coming today. And we're going to talk next week, a different fear. And so looking forward to seeing you next week.